One, two, three,
In 3, 2, 1. Good evening. I'm your host, Aaron Ripmaster, coming to you live from the Man Cave, where joining me tonight for Diz Dad's podcast number 340 are Coy Seipert.
Hello, everyone.
Darcy McKillop.
Good evening, all.
And David Nicely.
Howdy.
Now, tonight we're going to be wrapping up the 2015 Diz Dads Disney Villains Tournament, bringing this field from the final eight all the way down to the biggest Disney villain. But before we get the field narrowed down, I want to remind you that the Diz Dads podcast is sponsored by Fantastic Memories Travel and its Mousemaster Travel Group. If you'd like me or one of the independent contractor travel agents working with me to help take care of the stressful parts of vacation planning so that you can focus on family fun, just send an email to aaron@fantasticmemoriestravel.com and we can get started planning a vacation full of fantastic memories. Okay, so we started this tournament with 32 villains divided across two divisions. One division is the Disney feature animation bracket, and the other is what we've called sort of the Disney acquisitions bracket. The acquisitions bracket includes Pixar, Marvel, and Star Wars. You know, we've had a few ties along the way trying to break this down. The community has helped us with that, and we'll be calling on the community again, hopefully, if we need assistance for tie purposes, in the live chat during the podcast. So far, Joe, it's all up to you. Okay. So we're going to take a look now at where we stand in the tournament. We're going to begin with the Disney animation bracket. And starting with the animation bracket there, we've got our first matchup is the one that was hotly contested in the last round of the tournament. Jafar and Maleficent were tied 2-2, and we threw the resolution of that to a poll that was part of a giveaway. I don't have the giveaway results just yet. I think there was some time zone confusion when I set up the giveaway. So it's still going to take entries for another hour or so. But once that is through, we'll announce the winner of the giveaway. I did go ahead and count up the votes for Jafar and Maleficent. And so we have a winner. And in a tightly contested race, even in the extended voting, Maleficent did come out ahead. So the number eight seed, Maleficent, survives to the Evil Eight, and we'll start with her matchup in the round of eight here against Mother Gothel. And I think I'm going to ask Darcy to get us rolling here with our first matchup. What do you think, Darcy?
I think this is a pretty interesting matchup. I think I'm a fan of Jafar, but I was happy to see Maleficent come through with that one because I think she's definitely the bigger villain in that matchup. And then to compare her against Mother Gothel, I mean, it's tough, I think. Mother Gothel is certainly not a very nice woman. Certainly comes across as being the kind of mummy dearest type of mum. But Maleficent is I think she's one of the top female villains for certain that Disney's ever produced. So I'm going with Maleficent on this one.
All right. So we have a vote for Maleficent. And I guess we'll turn next to David Nicely. And David, one vote for Maleficent. Mother Gothel, her opponent. Who wins?
I'm done rooting for the losing side. I'm going Maleficent on this one. none of my arguments have stood before going against her, so I'm joining her dark side.
All right, so two votes already for Maleficent. You know, Coy, I need to remind you the discussion we had over the last, you know, couple of podcasts here. You know, I think that the pretty music makes people forget sometimes what, you know, how low Mother Gothel sinks. I mean, not only is she a kidnapper, but you also have to think about what she did, you know, after Rapunzel starts to kind of check out the outdoors, right? I mean, she sicks the castle guards on Flynn Rider. She sets up the fake, you know, deal where she has, you know, Flynn tied to the ship and, you know, lies again to Rapunzel. And she's pretty darkly evil all around.
Well, I'll tell you, what it comes down to for me is motive. Okay. And, you know, there's been, you know, the new Maleficent movie shows that Maleficent has, you know, has been treated badly. She has a reason for being upset and for being evil and for changing from good to evil. I don't think there's ever going to be a Mother Gothel movie that shows why she's, you know, that puts her in a good light. She's just a witch that wants to be young forever and is the most selfish, you know, person on the face of the earth, apparently, who would kidnap a baby just to keep a flower so she can stay young. And I mean, yeah, I mean, she has no motive other than that she's pure evil for me. So I'm going to go with Mother Gothel.
Ah, okay. So two votes for Maleficent, one for Mother Gothel. And so I'm in the position of being able to make that tie again if I want to. And, you know, if Maleficent is going to survive this, I think she's going to have to, you know, get more support than just the two votes. So I'm going to cast my vote for Mother Gothel and force a tie here. And so we're going to turn to the chat room.
While they're thinking about it, I will say that I was going to vote Mother Gothel before you presented your closing argument, Aaron.
Okay. Well, so go ahead and make your argument. I mean, would you extend the argument in any other ways?
Well, I don't know. I think, like I said, for me, it just really comes down to that she just has no reason to be evil. I mean, a lot of villains, you know, even down to Vader and, I mean, some of the biggest villains in the world, I mean, a lot of villains have a reason, a backstory of to why they are doing the evil things they're doing, but Mother Gothel really doesn't. It's just, you know, there was a witch and she found a flower and she hid it under a basket for who knows how many years, could have been hundreds, before they found it to save the queen. I mean, and yeah, she just doesn't have any motive other than being evil, as far as I know.
Well, yeah, I mean, her motive is her own vanity, really, which is essentially the same as Maleficent's motive. I mean, Maleficent's insulted by the fact that she's not invited to be part of the, you know, big castle event. And I mean, it just plays out a little differently, but it's essentially the same situation. I mean, her own vanity kind of, you know, puts her ahead of everybody else. All right. Well, nobody wants to make an argument here. There's a little bit of chat going, but nobody volunteering to hop on the audio here. So I'm just going to toss it to the chat room then. Cast your votes. And just one word, you know, Maleficent, or I guess two words, Maleficent or Mother Gothel.
I was just going to add that same argument, actually, Aaron, about Maleficent. I mean, her reason for becoming evil really was simply because she wasn't invited to something. She wasn't invited to the christening, I think, of Aurora.
Yeah.
So that one little thing made her one of the most pure evil villains that they have.
You know, I read something over this last, since we did the last podcast, and it had nothing to do with what we're doing, except for that this animator said that all of the early evil characters were based on a degree of how evil Maleficent was.
Interesting.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, she was the initial evil. I mean, and she's probably still one of the most evil, like, just looking, I mean, just kind of evil feeling villains. I mean, changing into a black dragon that breathes green fire. I mean, that's pretty.
All right.
It's pretty evil, as you know. Plus,
that's
with
true.
The black horns.
True it is.
I mean, visually, very evil.
All right. Well, the votes are in, and Maleficent does squeak by the margin of a single vote. So Maleficent will advance to the final four of our biggest villain tournament, and we move on to the other side of the remaining Disney feature animation bracket, and we get a different kind of matchup. We have the Evil Queen versus Shan Yu, two very different kinds of villains, and I think I'm going to ask Coy to get us started this time.
Okay, well, I was really not on the Shan Yu boat in the first two podcasts. He just seemed like a guy that was just taking over stuff and wasn't really evil necessarily, but just bent on world domination, which I guess is evil. But I don't know, when I look at both of them, the Evil Queen, just the whole, yeah, Shan Yu kills people, but the Evil Queen, I mean, she hires somebody to murder a girl and then tries to poison the same girl and then, you know, turns herself into a witch. I mean, I feel like the evil factor for me just comes from the use of magic, and that evil magic and the raven and the whole, I don't know, Shan Yu's a bad dude, but I don't know, I feel like the absence of talking very much just makes him feel less evil to me.
Okay. I can see that. All right, so Darcy, what do you have to say to Coy's argument? Do you agree? Is it the Evil Queen?
Well, I think through the first two rounds, I was a big supporter of Shan Yu, and I think in the last broadcast that we did, somebody made the argument that, you know, he's a bad man, but maybe he's not evil. He's sort of like what was just said about being, you know, just bent on world domination, and we've certainly had lots of real people in the world that have come across that. Does that make them the most evil person? I don't know. But, you know, one of the biggest arguments for the Evil Queen in this is she's got evil in her name. we've talked about that before. And when you have evil in your name, I don't think there's any way to kind of vote against you. So I think in this matchup, yeah, Shan Yu's a terrible person. Certainly had different motives, but the Evil Queen is the bigger villain here.
All right, David. So with a name like Evil, she has to be bad. What do you think? Is this a clean sweep for the Evil Queen, or is Shan Yu, you know, our 15 seed who's been chugging along, is he still have some life here? Is he still have a defender?
You know, I've been his biggest supporter, but he just ran into a Coached K Evil Queen team. And Evil Queen.
Ooh, I kind of like the idea of Coach K as the Evil Queen.
No one needs a Coach K reference.
Well, as a KU fan, I always think of, you know, Krzyzewski as something along the lines of the Evil Queen, so that works.
Absolutely. As the fact that she was willing to murder her stepdaughter solely to take a throne that had nothing to do with her, where I think that takes a little more evil than just the whole world domination. So I'm going for the clean sweep and voting for the Evil Queen.
Okay, so the Evil Queen, who started this as the number three seed, advances now all the way to the final four, having won every single vote she was eligible for. She overcame Captain Hook 3-0, Queen of Hearts 3-0, and now Shan Yu 3-0. So we'll see how she does here in the final four. All right, we need to go to the other side of the bracket now and see where our Disney acquisitions bracket is going to take us. The first matchup here is probably one that has been rather well anticipated. It's the servant and master, or student and master. We have number one seed Emperor Palpatine facing off against number four seed Darth Vader. And I will say up front that there's certainly been some criticism of my seeding of these. I will tell you up front, I didn't intentionally set them up so they would come out this way. It's just the way it worked. But in any case, David, your turn to go first. Is it Emperor Palpatine or Darth Vader? Who's the bigger villain?
Cue the Imperial March. We're going to go with Lord Vader. A couple different reasons. One, he ultimately throws Palpatine over the edge. Even his lightning can't stop Vader. But Vader is what Emperor Palpatine covets. He knows that he's much stronger in the Force, and he's a much stronger Sith than he could ever be, knowing that he has that extreme talent. So I think that in the Edge of Talent, he's a little higher than Palpatine. I know he has a little bit of a redemption there in the end, but overall, it takes a pretty big evil to go into a room full of younglings and wipe them all out.
Okay. Well, I guess if you're going to reference the Abomination films, then you do get some additional arguments for Vader. What do you think, Darcy? Is he on the right track?
You know, it's – I mean, everybody loves the character Vader, and he's definitely one of the top ones in this, and it's certainly a tough matchup. But and I've been thinking about this one for a bit, and of the two, I certainly, as a character, like Vader more, but Palpatine. But the deciding factor on this vote for me is the fact that he does have a bit of redemption at the end, and that redemption alone is what makes me throw my vote to Palpatine.
Okay, so we have one vote for Palpatine, one vote for Vader, and Coy, it's all on you.
Man, this is a tough one for sure. And I like what everybody said. I think David made some good points. But I really lean towards Palpatine just because of the fact, well, kind of like Darcy said, just because he doesn't have any redemption ever. You know, even back in the prequels, you know, even when he's just trying to work his way up the Senate, you know, he's still has this evil alter ego that nobody knows about, and he's working the system. I mean, just the entire time, the amount of plotting is just, you know, years and years worth of it versus Vader. I mean, Vader became, you know, he turned dark. He became evil. Yeah, he was Palpatine's right-hand man. He carried out what Palpatine wanted him to do, but when it comes down to it, it was Palpatine's vision for the evil acts, for the most part, that Vader carried out. So, I don't know, I really feel like the master has to be more evil than the apprentice.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I could make a tie here if I wanted to, but I really don't have any interest in doing it. I agree with pretty much, you know, exactly the way you said that, Coy. What it comes down to me is, you know, first of all, and I think we talked about this a little bit last week, you know, I agree with Darcy that Vader has some redemption, and whether it's total redemption or not, he at least redeems himself a little bit by rescuing his own son. You know, we talk about how awful Vader is for, you know, murdering the room full of younglings, but, you know, who gave the order? It's not like Palpatine was innocent of the murder of the younglings. He's just not the one who swung the lightsaber. But he's the one who sent Anakin to go do it and was pretty unequivocal about it. I mean, you know, Anakin didn't come up with that on his own. He wasn't trying to impress Palpatine. That was at Palpatine's request. So I can't argue with the panel's decision. So Palpatine advances 2-1. But I will note that I think this is now – oh, no, I guess that's our third dissenting vote. So we don't have a sweep. Okay. So we move to what – you know, I didn't realize it was going to work out this way. We had the Star Wars side of the acquisitions bracket, and now we get the Marvel side of the acquisitions bracket. And another interesting matchup. This time we have Red Skull, a number 6 seed who's come up through that side of the bracket, facing off against number 2 seed Loki. And Darcy, you're up.
Like I say, it's another good matchup. When you look at them, if you base this on their appearance, then Red Skull's certainly the more evil. I mean, he's a fairly scary-looking man with the red mask that he wears or that he's become. So he certainly, in physical appearance, he certainly would be the choice. And like Loki, I mean, if you go by the current, I guess, from the movie, I mean, I think if you ask most women, they would say that he's a pretty handsome man. At least that's the scene that I get from my wife anyway.
Okay, okay.
But and it comes back to, I think, something that that we talked about at the last recording. With Loki, he's a very devious person, and he pretends he's on your side at times, but really his motive is still always to get what he's intending to get or wants to get. Case in point, at the end of the last movie, he has everyone convinced that it's that he's his father, but really, you know, you see at the end that it's really Loki. Where with Red Skull, I mean, I don't think there's any hidden agenda. He is what he is, and because of that deviousness, that's where I'm going with Loki on this one.
Okay, so we've got one vote for the devious Loki. How about you, Koi? What do you think?
Yeah, I think I'm gonna have to agree. When I think of an evil person, I kind of think of plotting and that. I mean, just being a bad guy is a bad guy, but being an evil villain, I don't know, has all that plotting and that backstabbing and the conniving and stuff in it. And I just feel like, and maybe it's because we have a little more Loki, you know, front and center in recent movies that we can see than we do Red Skull, I guess, to an extent. And so, but I don't know. I really feel like I'm going to go with Loki.
Interesting. So, you know, I'm not sure Red Skull is getting enough credit here so far from the panel for the lengths that, you know, he goes to create these situations for, you know, I guess in some ways I think makes the situation ripe for Loki. I mean, it's not Loki who uncovers the Casket of Winters, right? That's Red Skull. And it's his hunt for these, relics that sort of awakens all of this in Loki. Let's not forget that it's Red Skull who is in many ways an engine behind, you know, stuff worse than the Nazis. I mean, that's how he was painted even in the first Captain America film. So there's a lot there that I don't know that Red Skull's getting full credit for. What do you think? David, you agree? Is Red Skull worse than he's getting credit for so far?
He is, and thank you very much for making my argument. I was going to mention that he is the one who finds the Tesseract that ultimately leads to where we get Loki's appearance, a little bit later on. I think the difference between the two is that Loki takes advantage of situations that other people put him in, as you sort of alluded to, Aaron. Red Skull is a planner and an executioner. And I know in a previous argument we had made that maybe Red Skull would be okay with just dominating Earth, where maybe Loki and Ronan the Accuser would be, you know, maybe looking beyond those things. But I'm not so sure about that.
Okay.
If he were aware of what Loki's aware of, then I'm pretty sure that he would go for a little more domination. So my vote is for Red Skull.
All right. Well, so we've got two votes for Loki, one vote for Red Skull. And I hope the guys in the chat room are paying attention, because I'm going to throw this to the chat room. I'm going to have to cast a make a tie vote for Red Skull. I think that there's no doubt that Loki is evil. But context is important here too. Part of Loki's evil comes from his anger at his heritage being hidden from him for his entire life until he's already an adult. He doesn't find out that he's a frost giant until, you know, partway through the first Thor movie. And he also, you know, was treated as, for lack of a better term, he was almost a human shield or an Asgardian shield. I mean, you know, essentially Odin, you know, takes him into his home as a way to keep a peace with Laufey, because that way Laufey won't attack him. And so I guess to a certain extent, I can forgive a little bit of Loki's evil. Now, you know, jumping behind Coulson and stabbing him through the heart from the back, that's hard to defend. So I'm not saying he's clean, but I would definitely say that Red Skull, you know, is at least Loki's equal, and in many ways, I think exceeds Loki just in terms of his, both his personal ambition and what he's willing to do to get there. All right, so on to the chat room.
And just for the record, I can't vote for the younger child.
Somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but the one of the current incarnation of Red Skull that we know from the movies is definitely a pretty, you know, arguably more evil than a Nazi. But wasn't one of the original incarnations of Red Skull actually an American who made airplanes, I think, or warplanes?
That would go back farther than my Red Skull knowledge goes. But the you know, there is, it was interesting that somebody was talking about, you know, Loki's subterfuge as Odin as being one of the examples of how evil he is, because that's one of the other modern Red Skull appearances, is that he spends a good chunk of, you know, one of the Avengers, you know, longer story runs, sort of masquerading as the United States Secretary of Defense. I think his name is Dean Rusk, which is an acronym for Red Skull or something like that. And so, you know, he plays a similar game. He hides in a position of power where he can, you know, exert influence in ways that are damaging. Anybody have any further arguments before we ask for the final votes from the folks in the chat room? Either Coy or Darcy, you want to better defend your choice?
Loki only has four letters in his name, and evil only has four letters in it, so.
Yeah, I like that one. That sounds pretty
good.
Drop
the mic.
Loki has that weird helmet thing, so that's pretty evil. It's got horns. I think that's.
But so does Heimdall.
We're gonna lose. Just count the votes. I think it's too late.
All right. So it looks like we've got Nate and Joe in the chat room there waiting for votes. The chat seems to have been favoring Red Skull, Nate emphatically so favoring Red Skull. So how about it, Joe? Are you going to go along with it, or is it just, you know, Loki curious for power, as you've called it?
You can't let Nate decide this.
No, I think Joe has agreed with him, though. All right, so Red Skull is going to take this one in overtime over Loki. And we now have our final four. So going into the finals here, let's do a review here in the Disney Animation, Disney Feature Animation bracket. Our final two competitors fighting it out for the championship of the animation bracket are Maleficent and the Evil Queen. Maleficent's path to the final four was through first Gaston. Then, and actually Maleficent has really fought her way through. I mean, she was a number 8 seed. A lot of people said she was underseeded. She beat Gaston 2-1, then had to go into overtime to beat Jafar. And then also was tied with Mother Gothel and had to go into overtime to win that one. So she really had to slog through to get to the final four. Meanwhile, the Evil Queen, as I mentioned earlier, has just swept through. She was a 3 seed, but you know, was 3-0 on Captain Hook, beat the Queen of Hearts 3-0, and then just now tonight, earlier, 3-0 over Sean Yu. So now we have Maleficent against the Evil Queen, the classic, you know, Disney villains. And I believe it's David's turn to start. So, David, which of the evil women makes it out of the villains bracket? Or, I'm sorry, the feature animation bracket.
Yeah, this one's tough. And, you know, just kind of going off of some of the conversation we've had recently, I'm going to go back to Maleficent, that she is the, you know, creation or the basis for a lot of the evil ones that came after her. Which would include the Evil Queen. And one of the things that in this quote that I had read was that, you know, that even the first incarnation of her wasn't evil enough, which is why they added the green skin. So they wanted her appearance to even be enough of have something of an evil tone to it. So then when we compare the two of them, I'm just going to go with sort of the Maleficent that I grew up with being the Sleeping Beauty version without the Angelina Jolie version in this argument. And I'm also taking out the Evil Queen from Once Upon a Time and just comparing them in their animation. Sure. So I'm going to go Maleficent.
All right. So we have one vote for Maleficent. What do you think, Coy?
Well, I think I might be on the same track there. I think I was kind of thinking the same thing. I was sitting here looking at my bracket, thinking if I just look at just the animated incarnations, no other story than what we knew of Maleficent except from just Sleeping Beauty. I mean, I think she's got to be more evil just because of, I mean, she conjures all the powers of hell. She turns herself into a dragon. I mean, the whole, you know, trying to kill a girl on her birthday, the whole plot, and she just looks crazy scary. I didn't let my kids watch it until they were like 6, and I kind of warned them. So I think on just, when I think of somebody evil, even though the Evil Queen has her name evil, I'm going to go with Maleficent.
Okay. So we've got a firm vote there for Maleficent from Coy. What do you think, Darcy? Is he right?
Well, I mean, the argument I think I've used all through this was that she's got evil in her name, so how can you go against that? But I think this might be where that doesn't do enough for her. I mean, if you look back through her, I guess her history, if we just look at the original animations, I mean, she's got some pretty scary looks when she turns into the witch. You know, call her the old hag, that's pretty evil looking. I think in her original, in the original story, her name was actually, it went by Queen Grimhild or Grimhild, which sounds kind of scary itself. my apologies to anybody German, but Maleficent, they both look evil in the way they're drawn, and then the, you know, the purple and the greens, but I think it's. I think Coy said it before, but Maleficent has horns, and that's kind of scary. Her reason for being evil is simply to curse one person, where the Evil Queen's reason for being evil is simply because she wants to be known as the fairest of them all, and she does evil things to do that. But my vote here is with the Maleficent. Maleficent, sorry.
All right. So Maleficent, you know, after it's very interesting here, Maleficent, after having to fight her way into this, you know, essentially semifinal match, and going up against up to this point dominating Evil Queen, turns the tables, and with a 3-0 sweep, Maleficent takes out the Evil Queen. So our champion in the Disney feature animation bracket is Maleficent. And we're going to turn now to the acquisitions bracket to find out who her opponent will be. And we have on the one side here, the number one seed who's been, you know, coming through pretty strong from the beginning, Emperor Palpatine had the first vote against him in just the last round. But, you know, in the first round, he overcame Sid from Toy Story 3-0. Then it was 3-0 over Darth Maul. And now 2-1 over Darth Vader to get into this semifinal. And on the other side, in what has become the Marvel side of the bracket, we have Red Skull, who you know, swept over Eric Saven 3-0, then slipped past Ronan the Accuser 2-1, and again then in overtime, you know, overcame Loki. Getting into this final. So Red Skull versus Emperor Palpatine, and I believe, Coy, it's your turn to lead us off.
Well, I feel like as much trouble as we had getting Red Skull through, well, not we, you guys. I don't think he's going to fare very well in this matchup. That's my prediction. I feel like Palpatine, I mean, is one of the greatest villains of all time. He's bent on not world domination, but, I mean, domination of all known peoples and places and, I mean, the whole universe. He not only carries out evil deeds, he turns other people to evil to serve as his minions, basically. I mean... I just feel like you just can't beat Palpatine for sheer evilness, especially when it comes down to between him and Red Skull. So I'm going Palpatine for me.
All right. So we have one vote for Palpatine. David, what do you think?
Quinn made some pretty good points there. And I think when you look at overall just the level of evilness, it's Emperor Palpatine. I just don't think that... Red Skull's on that same level. He's pretty darn evil, but not on the same level that Palpatine is.
All right. So is it a clean sweep here, Darcy?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think I've supported Palpatine all along. I think we all did. And to be honest with you, I don't think I ever voted for Red Skull. I don't think. And maybe I'm... misremembering, but maybe not. But a couple things. I mean, the arguments I think that Aaron you brought up earlier that we weren't possibly giving him his proper due. I think that they have some weight. He was one time one of the Nazis, which I guess in real life were arguably one of the most evil groups ever known, and. He went on to create, at least fictionally, a group that's supposedly worse than the Nazis. So that's pretty evil. And I think the one thing that kind of throws me right now with Palpatine is he could foresee the future. So why didn't he foresee his own death? Why didn't he keep Luke and Vader apart? Why didn't he stop all those things? So as evil as he was, and as certainly as ugly as he was, that gave him that evil appearance, I think he made a few mistakes along the way. So I'm going with Red Skull.
Interesting. All right. Well, you know, Darcy makes a case for Red Skull, does give me the opportunity to make the tie if I wanted to throw this to the chat room. I got to say, I'm not really persuaded. And I'll tell you why. I actually think there are a lot of parallels between Red Skull and Emperor Palpatine. And I think they are, you know, more similar maybe than we've given them credit for so far. The thing that I think sets Palpatine ahead even more than, you know, what we've already said so far, it's a matter of scope. And what it is that they're really trying to do. I mean, you know, Red Skull, yes, Red Skull is trying for world domination, and maybe he would go for galactic domination if he could get there. But Palpatine, you know, at the point at which he, even at the beginning when he's enticing Anakin to be part of, you know, this Sith world, he is kind of making that pitch based on wanting to overcome death, right? He wants to cheat the entire natural order. And he builds the Death Star, right? He destroys, I mean, Red Skull, yeah, he's genocidal. He destroys, you know, armies in his wake. But ultimately, he'd be happy if people just, you know, did what he said. Palpatine, on the other hand, is the one who's really behind, you know, turning Alderaan into a pile of dust. So I got to agree that it's Palpatine who advances to the final here.
I also have a quick rebuttal for Palpatine's lack of foresight.
Okay.
It's because he was blinded by pure evil.
There you go. The evil got in the way of his evil.
I'll take my book.
Exactly.
I believe Yoda told us that the future is cloudy, and even, you know, the Force can't predict the future. So
that's true. That's true. All right, so we're down to our championship match, and I don't think that anybody could say that, you know, we don't have the cream of the crop here in the championship, regardless of anything leading up to it, because we've got Maleficent from the animation bracket facing off against Emperor Palpatine from the acquisitions bracket. And can only be one winner. So, David, get us started.
I'd like to pass. No. more time to think about this one. Because, you know, since I've joined the Maleficent side in this round, and then we go to Palpatine here. Again, just looking at the animated version of Maleficent, and only looking at the true three Star Wars movies where he is an emperor and not a senator, just trying to narrow it down for myself, I am going to vote for Emperor Palpatine. In this one, I think he does, if you compare those two, he does a lot more harm to more people than just one. As you mentioned, Alderaan, and he took out a whole planet. And he would have taken out more had some, you know, low-level architect who was outsourced didn't put in his passport. So, but, you know, he's not in charge of HR. So I'm going to go with him. I think that he would have, you know, he didn't have the value for life. Maleficent was after Sleeping Beauty as a revenge, or after Aurora. But I don't know that she would have, you know, went to the next kingdom and killed other people in that same mindset.
Okay. Okay, there's a pretty solid argument. What do you think, Coy? Are you convinced?
Oh, man, I don't know. This whole thing comes down to, I've just been trying to think of which I feel like is just more evil. When I think of, and I've done this a couple times during the tournament, I've just thought, stepped back and said, who do I think, when I think of evil, who do I think of? And I think of both of these people. So that didn't work for me here. But I feel like Palpatine has to be more evil just based on the sheer millions of people that he killed. I mean, the death toll for Palpatine is just mind-boggling. And, you know, he doesn't care. Versus Maleficent, who I don't think would kill that many people, even if she had the chance to do it. I think her evil was a lot smaller evil. And so for me, he doesn't seem as much evil.
Okay. Her evil was more focused.
Yeah, perhaps. Focused evil. It's not as widespread, just insane evil as Palpatine is.
All right. All right. So I guess, Darcy, is it going to be a clean sweep for Palpatine? Or are you going to at least make an argument here for Maleficent?
This is tough, because in some of the other, like when we were within each bracket, when you get down to comparing one villain against the other, a lot of times you could look at their story and find the stories are very similar. Like we talk about Maleficent versus the Evil Queen, for example. I mean, there was a lot of similarities in the movies, I guess. But when you have to compare an original Disney villain against one of the Lucasfilm villains, I mean, you're talking about a completely different beast. and like the argument so far has been, you know, she Palpatine, you know, wanted to take over the universe and killed many, many people, where Maleficent didn't do that. But that's not what she was trying to do. So it's hard to come up with one versus the other. And going through this and trying to figure this out, how do you vote for this? How do you pick because of those very big differences between the storylines? Is there anything, again, going back to what we talked about earlier, that may have redeemed one character in their movie? With Palpatine, there's nothing that I can think of that was redeeming in anything that he did. Whereas there's only one thing that I can think of with Maleficent is when she has one pet, and that was her raven, Diablo. And when Diablo was turned to stone, it seemed to bother her. So obviously she cared for something. I'm not sure Palpatine cared for anything other than himself. So I'm going to vote for Palpatine.
Okay. Well, that's a quite an astute observation there, and I think that it's well taken. So we have our winner. We have Emperor Palpatine, the biggest Disney villain by virtue of acquisition. And, you know, I think that this has been a well-played through tournament. I guess, you know, the a few minutes remaining, I'd kind of throw it out to the panel and say, you know, looking back now after, you know, 3 weeks of these shows, were there any of these matchups that sort of surprised you a little bit that you know, worked out in ways that surprised you?
Go ahead.
I'm not sure if anything surprised me. And again, Aaron, you brought it up earlier where it goes back to some of the matchups that we had earlier. And I think one of our discussions earlier on in the very first round with Evil Queen versus Captain Hook at 3 versus 14, I mean, that's a pretty tough spot for Captain Hook to be. And I think we all kind of agreed that if he had been anywhere else in that first round, he probably would have went through to the second round. But when he was up against the Evil Queen, it was just a very tough matchup to put Captain Hook through.
Yeah, I would agree with that. That's true. Anybody else had any of those earlier matchups that, you know, maybe surprised them or that they had a reaction that, you know, they didn't quite expect?
I really thought Gaston was going to go father. You know, when we originally looked at these, Aaron, I was like, man, Gaston's a bad dude. And he's going to make a play all the way to the end on this. And, you know, Maleficent, he just didn't see her coming.
Yeah, that was, you know, we had a couple of those where that first round matchup was, you know, just more than they could recover against, I guess.
Yeah, it was kind of the same way with Jafar. I think Jafar's a pretty evil guy, but he got matched up with Maleficent in the second round. And on the other side, I feel like if Sid from Toy Story had have been just a little more evil, he could have knocked out Palpatine in the first round, and we wouldn't have had this.
No, you don't.
This whole thing.
No, you don't.
Maybe not. But it would have been an interesting movie if Sid had been evil.
It would have been interesting,
like, really evil.
If Sid had been as evil as Palpatine. Oh yeah.
Yes.
See? That would have changed a lot of things. All right. So any last thoughts from folks in the chat room? Now, all right. Fine. Nate, you've been harping on this since we first started talking about this tournament, so I'm going to bring it up. You know, Nate's been saying since the beginning that this is all just, you know, manipulated, because if it were a proper tournament with all of the villains eligible instead of being limited to humanoid or human villains, that, you know, Scar is more evil than any of these. What do you think?
No, I
see Hercules, Scar is a rug. That is the note. See Hercules, Scar is a rug.
If you want to bring in the rest of them, I'm going with Hades.
Okay.
Yeah. Hades is Hades is pretty evil. by definition.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't feel like Scar's a little too, he's not evil looking enough for me. I mean, he had some evil motives and he killed his brother. I mean, yeah, but
well, yeah, Scar.
When it comes down to, you know, those other criteria that we kind of had to go back onto, you know, who feels evil and looks evil, and, you know, he's not evil looking like Maleficent is.
Would he have
by
been
any means?
And would he have been sounded as, would he have been as evil if he had been voiced by James Woods via Jeremy Irons? You know what I mean? I think that the reason I bring that up is because with the animal villains, it's very difficult to rate them against what we've kind of classified these people as. Then the voice comes in so much into play.
Right. I mean, that's one of the reasons I limited it to the human and humanoids is that it's kind of not fair, you know, once you get the animals involved and, you know, gods and demons and that kind of thing. I mean, as long as we kept it to humans and humanoids, at least it seemed to me that the matchups, you know, you could make an argument in any case, one way or the other. I don't know. Are there any other of the Disney great villains that, you know, you would have thought if they were included would have made a run?
I don't know. I like King Louie a lot from the Jungle Book. He's not very evil, but I do like him.
Anybody else?
I don't think you can get any of the classic ones in there other than when you start going into the, as Darcy said, with Hades. And then, you know, you kind of have a, I mean, you have a pretty clear, that would have been a great matchup, Palpatine versus Hades. And that'd be a pretty darn good matchup.
Actually, I think I originally wondered why Radigan from The Great Mouse Detective wasn't in it before I realized it was all humanoid.
Okay. Well, that's an interesting one.
You know, kidnapping and trying to take over the kingdom and queen and the whole, I mean, he puts people to death. Well, has him eaten by his cat anyways.
Yeah, that's a pretty evil way to get rid of people.
He's a pretty mean dude for animated Disney.
Yeah.
I mean, I think someone, I can't remember who said it, but when it came to Maleficent about not allowing their kids to watch her until they were, you know, six
that
or seven.
Coy.
I mean, the way some of these historic Disney animated villains are drawn, they are scary. And it's kind of funny when you think of, you know, Disney animated movies are really intended for a younger audience, but they could scare the crap out of people just from the drawings.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
What about somebody who has never drawn the hunter in Bambi?
True.
Yeah, I've heard arguments for the, you know, man basically being, you know, one of the greatest Disney villains, and we never talk about it because he's not seen.
It's because he's so scary looking. They couldn't have drawn him.
I guess we left out Lady Tremaine. You know, it would have been the only other one, but I'm not sure, you know, she would have fared well.
Yeah. I mean, I could see some arguments for her here or there, but, you know, ultimately she's pretty nasty, but she doesn't kill anybody.
Right. And that's what I mean. I don't know that she would have fared well. But I mean, just thinking like the other villains, you know, she doesn't kind of go into, I mean, does Gaston kill anybody?
Well, he tries.
You try. Yeah. He fails, but he at least attempts.
One thing that I guess I'm sitting here looking at this now, and I'm thinking about some of the criticisms you hear over Disney movies through the years is that there's never strong female characters in it. There's often not a mother involved in the movie where there's a father. But if you look at our bracket, that's pretty much all women.
Well, I mean, that's exactly the criticism, frankly, is that, you know, women characters are almost universally presented as evil. And, you know, it's kind of interesting to me that after all of that and, you know, the volume of you know, women represented as, you know, the evil characters. I mean, the three of the final four among the Disney feature animation group were women. But the ultimate winner is male, is Emperor Palpatine.
I think that, you know, the argument toward that, and I get it, but a mother or the lack of a mother and then being scorned by another woman, I think does more pain than seen like through the eyes of a male where it just seems more of a power grab. I think women are, you know, tend to be viewed as more caring. And so when they do something like that, it tends to be viewed as more evil because they're supposed to be the more caring of the sexes.
Good point.
Okay. That's an interesting point. So basically the argument being that the reason that the women characters come off as so evil is because it's such a contrast to the way that people actually see them.
Right. You know, is where you have Palpatine. It's like, oh, he's just a power grab. He's a great father at home, spends time with the kids, loves them. But at work, he's a loser.
That's a neat observation, actually, because when you look at all of the it's on mostly on the acquisition side, all the characters that I don't think there were actually any female characters in there to strike it with, but all of those male characters were bent on world or universal domination of some sort, whereas the like you pointed out, that wasn't what the women villains were all about. They weren't bent on domination per se.
Yeah, and it is kind of interesting how that plays out. I mean, you know, some, I guess, would say that that's pointing out a flaw in the modern, you know, Marvel films. I mean, it's part of the overall issue that people have with them, that there are too few female characters in general. And, you know, just as there there's not enough attention paid to female heroes. I mean, you've got Black Widow, but there's an argument at least that she tends to get marginalized. You know, we don't have a really serious female villain.
And you can kind of look at it from the other way too, that the fact that male villains are acceptable being bent on world domination or worse than a female villain kind of comes from the fact that, I mean, you know, men have historically been, you know, viewed in that way and would, you know, except for Dizdads. Dizdads are nice guys, but,
I'm
you know,
here trying to
the fact that it's acceptable for men to be, you know, less caring and more
acceptable for men to be,
you know, it's okay,
bent on world,
you know,
domination.
Right.
I'm trying to think of a movie where that I've seen that there was a lead female villain that was bent on world domination. Nothing pops right to my mind.
It all comes down to Hell Hath No Fury. Like a woman scorned, right? I mean, and that's Maleficent, right? We could tie it to the Evil Queen. If that was the basis, you know, in their thought process. But I thought about this the other day, that I couldn't think of a single, any feature film or any animation where there was a lead character, and even took it outside of Disney, where there was some woman, other than if you go back to Richard Burton and Elizabeth Taylor's version of Cleopatra, and I'm not even sure that that was even, you know, geared toward her, right? It was more about Caesar. So it just, nothing pops to mind.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to me because there are some, you know, I mean, I'd have to stop and think about it, but there are some female villains that we're exposed to, you know, in the Marvel Universe. But the closest thing we have to a female villain in the you know, MCU films, really, I mean, maybe Scarlet Witch, until she gets clued in, could be considered evil. But I don't know. Is there anybody else?
Not that we've seen so far, I don't think.
I mean, I couldn't think of one.
No, and that's, you know, the point that you just made. It seems like every time there's a female villain, at some point in that story, they see the light and realize they're on the wrong side.
Yeah, they turn them.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well,
so there's nothing redeemable in men, basically. Is what it's over. Too late.
All right. Well, before we spin this off too far into the hinterlands, you all have heard our opinion on the biggest Disney villain. And I want to be clear, we called it biggest Disney villain on purpose because, you know, everybody's sort of criteria were a little bit different going in. And I think you heard that play through during this tournament. But, you know, you've heard our opinions. We'd still love to hear your thoughts. You can email them to us at podcast@dizdads.com. Visit our blog, dizdads.com. Tweet us at Dizdads Podcast on Twitter and participate in the discussions in our forums at boards.dizdads.com. We're also on Facebook at facebook.com/dizdadspodcast. Until next time, I've been Aaron Rittmaster with David Nicely.
Good evening, everyone.
Coy Seipert.
May the force be with you.
And Darcy McKillop.
Night, everyone.
would like to say, I just cooked dinner for 3 kids while I was on that podcast.
That's impressive. And we're out.